Rowdiest man, loud up the 10, aroused skins, proud men, bare knuckles across the 10, body slam, Tony Atlas when I step in the gym, wrestling, jot messaging, technician, the veteran, thoughts jettison, flash round, shut down your settlement, Ron Madison,
we're 6:18, about 40 minutes
into the show. Our cheese was strong.
It was strong.
Yeah, I'm gonna be tasting that for a while. That was that fancy cheese.
For the rest of your life, that's the Wegmans.
That's the cheese so expensive, you're gonna remember how much you paid.
The rest of your life. Rest of your life. So we back for people who weren't with us before we went to the break. Hopefully everybody that was is still here. But for people that may have joined us, TK the Kid on Communion. We got Whiskey Girl here. Visiting us, talking about all that good jazz between motherhood and mental health. And we also got a special guest, Pioneer, sitting in with us as well as we talk about being black women, black mothers, and all the things that you are up against and what you got to do to survive. Such a great feat. So getting back to it, Whiskey, so you came to talk to us about mental health and motherhood. So let's get specific about what that looks like. So you had mentioned something to me about how connecting with your kids, talking about the emotional connection around that, and then dealing with your own issues around how you were raised and your own relationship with your mother. So how do those two things come together to make sense?
Oh, yeah. I did send you all that, didn't I?
You did. And so I've been ready.
No, it's something that I want to talk to moms about, especially because I think that I get a lot of, especially because I do all these mental health talks, and because, you know, people make assumptions about your personality or how you are, and they're like, oh, you're such a good mom, and I'm just like, no, I feel like I'm failing every day. And it's just kind of the message to other mothers that you're just going to feel that way, that in healing is not linear. So knowing is half the battle, but it might take you 10 years to get through the other half. Right. Like, I know that I struggle when I go inward and I need my solitude, and there's like an invisible force field around me and they can't penetrate it.
Yeah.
I've been able to figure that out in relationships where it's just like, oh, okay, this nigga is trying to get close. And I'm just not there. There's a part of me that had to deal with dissociation, just like being out of my mind, because that's my mental health coping mechanism to try to like stay out of stress. And a lot of black women do it. It's like survival mode where you're just kind of like in the zone, just trucking. But are you connecting with people? And that was kind of my thing, is just letting moms who deal with mental health issues and kind of are dealing with trying to unbrainwash themselves for things that they learned about parenting that you're supposed to do. It's just like the process of unlearning that stuff is going to be a long one, and you're going to fuck up, and you're probably going to still ingrain some of that stuff, and you're going to show up imperfect. And self-compassion.
Yeah, I talk about grace a lot and having it for yourself. Mm-hmm. It's important that you have some grace for yourself. So in thinking about that, what do you feel like is one of the toughest lessons you had to learn or relearn, should I say, from what you may have learned from your parents or from your mother, and that you could see, you know what I mean, you either projecting or teaching your own kids in this process of healing and stuff like that? What do you think one of the biggest lessons is that you've learned?
I guess this might sound like a general answer, but one thing I had to be cognizant of and have to stay on top of is how controlling I am.
Okay.
And in realizing that the base of
control is
it works to my advantage when it comes to like curating a dope show.
Like shit.
But
like shit.
In the household, it's kind of like if I keep a vice grip, it's like making sure that they know that I want to be a kind person. I'm a kind mom. I'm all about mental wellness and speaking to them in a loving way and us speaking to each other lovingly. And it's just kind of like it's realizing that the balance is that I can't control that all the time. Sometimes right. they get to be shitty. Sometimes they get to yell at each other. Sometimes they're going to be mad and not like each other. It's Correct. Going to be imperfect. I cannot control the kindness that's happening in the household. I cannot control the anxiety. I cannot control whether someone reacts to something in a negative way. I cannot make it like a, you know, you just welcome influence to the land.
It. You yes. influence it. That is your job to influence.
I can show them what it is to live a positive life, mm-hmm. to bounce back, to mm-hmm. renew the mindset so that when things happen to them, it's like, okay, here is how I process it, and here's the plan for bouncing back from this, and here's me feeling my feelings about it. But under no circumstances can I be, and I notice that, you know, it's one of those things that Black families do. It's like, I'm feeling insert negative emotion here, and it's like, no, you don't. Why you feel that? Right. It's just like, let me feel it. So yeah. allowing them to feel their emotions, even if it's like at my expense, or even if it's like we're in a pandemic and I am just out of my mind with anxiety and I cannot comfort you or be there for you in the way that you need. Like, I have a work meeting and you need me, but I have to pay the bills. And it's like, I can't be everything, do everything, control everything in the household. I just have to... It has been the healing process. It's all been a lesson in letting things go. You just got to let it go. Life is going to happen, align, be what it is, and shit is going to be fucked up. If we're operating under free will, people are going to do fucked Whatever up they shit wanna do. Absolutely. That's going to affect your alignment.
That's it.
And you, it's a constant state of realigning and recalibrating yep. and doing it in a way that's not making my children feel like it's their fault. Mm-hmm. It's like... You spilled some shit on the carpet, and yes, that affects my day, but not making you feel as if it affects my day.
Right. Like it affects my life. Right. Yeah. You changed my life because yeah. you spilled this on the carpet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you may have changed my finances slightly, but you have not ruined my life because
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, God damn, Mom. God damn. So are your kids back in school or are they in the house? Y'all doing homeschool over there? How y'all doing this?
So they do distance learning. Okay. And the way we worked it out is that I'm one of those moms, it takes a village. It has to take a village okay. for me to try to, and this is something I want to talk about too, right?
Okay, talk about it.
So they're distance learning right now. So the advantage of that, and I told them, is like, it's a pandemic. So you're distance learning. You can go to Virginia Beach with their family, and that's where they have like aunts and grandparents and dogs and land and a bigger house. Yeah. So we kind of worked out an arrangement where they're like spending down time there for a couple of months, and then they spend here with me for a couple of months. And that was kind of a controversial decision because my kids have never... they've always been my custody full time, but they've always spent a lot of time with their grandparents, or they're always like out with, you know, and I'm of the belief that it takes a village because yeah. it's going to have to take a village.
It takes a village because it does. Single or not, it takes a village.
Thank you.
Single or not, it takes a village.
And we have this kind of punishing society where we're like, no, we want Black single women to have it hard in the paint. And that is how you sacrifice for your family and don't have time for nothing but to pour into them. And then your reward is that on Mother's Day, they're like, my mom sacrificed everything. And I even saw one dude like years ago. He was like, my mom didn't even date because she wanted to focus. Maybe she wanted to get her pussy licked.
I'm just saying, maybe she wanted that.
But that's what they expect.
Maybe she wanted that.
They expect.
I rebel every damn
Who's
day. Society. Patriarchal society.
Who's that?
And patriarchal society.
Okay, I just want to make sure we was clear on who they were, so everybody else knew. Everybody else knew who they were.
The whole thing is around keeping us tamed, mm-hmm. because when you get into capitalism, when you get into when Black women start tapping into that,
yeah.
when women start tapping into starting their own businesses.
Shit gets scary. Shit gets scary because bitches get powerful. Once they figure out how powerful they are, shit gets crazy.
Their version of power, we're already powerful. Absolutely. We're already powerful just in who we are, and it lies dormant in us.
Yep.
And it gains them for them to keep it dormant.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the ways they minimize us, is by making us think that motherhood is this cookie cutter thing where you just pour into soccer practice and all up in your kids' business. And really you're not connected to yourself, because in what you're giving them is just a supervisor. You're micromanaging their lives, and that's what they think parenting is. And it's like, No, you also I'm your emotional yours. Guidance. You said what?
You're diminishing yours.
Exactly.
You don't have a life.
Exactly.
Then that's when you run into, they get old and they grown and they go off on
midlife their crisis.
Now you're sitting there like,
midlife
well,
crisis.
Now what do
done.
I do?
Uh-huh, trying to figure yourself out.
55 fucking everybody because you ain't getting to do it back in the day. Listen, you better
Stella
have your whole phase now.
Her whole ass groove
you better
back.
Have your whole phase now.
I'm just saying. Listen. Ladies, get it now. While the getting
listen,
is good.
Listen, right. Wait, you got your vagina all confused. Like, what are you
that
what
are expected
doing?
Of you? And they add badges to those sacrifices, but those badges mean nothing. Because what do you have to show for? Okay, yeah, so you didn't go out and date, and you didn't do this, and you didn't do that, and you did all of these wonderful things with your children. But now what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are you?
And your children and about to go do stuff without you. Because your children are trying to get away from
that
you.
Get away? For?
Yeah.
Who are
yeah.
you?
Who was it for? You post all this stuff on social media and it's like, I even see the memes like niggas be posting like, oh, you see a bitch don't post her kids or she don't be posting. No.
I don't
I'm building
mine.
A brand. I'm not posting my fucking kids. All this shit I'm doing, focus.
I got a phone call during a split and they said to me, you know it looks bad.
Who gives
they're
a
always,
fuck?
They're always posting the kids, but you're posting, you're traveling, you're doing this, you're doing that. Absolutely. There's
I'm a person.
An image that I'm creating, number one. Number two, I'm a whole-ass person.
Whole-ass
person.
With
my whole-ass life.
Whole-ass life.
That are outside of these children, and that's fine. It's okay. I've never known social media to hold up in the court of law, and that's what y'all want to start doing? Cool, because I have other receipts that I can bring.
And if anything, it's like you have to respect the children and what they want. Do they want to be posted? How do they want to show up on social media?
I'm sorry.
And I'm still watching.
I'm not
like,
thick-skinned enough to yeah. post my children. The first yeah. time my child become a meme, I'm going to be trying to comb through the internet.
Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
I,
hey, y'all
I, just,
wild
exactly. I don't have it in me to overlook that.
I'm not fucking with you.
I just can't. So.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. And I've gone through different iterations of, like, should I post them or should I not? Or what's the deal with that? And I make sure that if I do, it's something that, like, I'm about to post, y'all. Or I
very
give reference.
Minimal.
And yeah. Yeah, and it's like you don't get to, and people don't understand that because we've gotten into this age of reality shows where we let people in so much. And it's like, I don't have to let you in there.
I'm ultra private.
Yeah.
You might see a picture and it might have nothing to do with what's going on in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not your business.
And there are, and I think that's smart. And I think a lot of artists do that because then people start to pick apart like what their perceptions of you and what they think you're doing. And it's like, no, I'm giving you exactly what I need to be giving you. So you come into the show or not. The fuck.
The fuck. The fuck.
Absolutely.
So I guess let me ask you, toss the question your way. So what's the lesson that you feel like you've learned in the relearning and shit like that? Because I know we're all doing it. Everybody's healing. So between
absolutely.
Things you can learn from your parents or your mother and things you've been teaching your kids or trying not to, what do you think that lesson is for you?
Ooh, child. Ooh, we got 2 hours? The biggest thing. The biggest thing for me was, and I say it all the time, my children are people. They are their own people.
Mm-hmm.
They are not mine. You know, they're mine because I gave birth to them,
mm-hmm.
but they are their own person. They have their own autonomy. I didn't have that growing up.
Okay.
There was very strict rules. You know, my mother had her struggles, so my great-grandmother raised me. There were very strict things that I could and could not do. It made me rebel in certain areas. It made me really green in others. It made me shrink in a lot of areas.
Okay.
You know, I only have one girl. She's so outspoken. I refuse to strip that from
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
Sometimes it makes me want to, like,
sometimes
square up.
Sometimes you like, bitch,
what the hell? But I refuse to take that from her
yeah.
because I know what it feels like to be a girl and then a young woman and then a woman who won't speak up for myself
yeah,
because
exactly.
that's been taken from me.
Yeah,
I'm
I'd rather have you go too far in the other direction, have to recalibrate than to strip your voice from you.
Absolutely, because when you get it back and you start standing up for yourself, now people are looking at you and you're all sorts of things now. Now you're selfish and you're stupid and you're this and you're bitter and you're all... It's like
and
this
the list
long...
goes on.
I'd be like,
and
I'm bitter.
And hey, put some music to that shit. Put some music to that shit.
Because how dare you? How dare
asserting
you
boundaries
is
my favorite fucking thing these days. I'd be like, and you get a boundary. And you everybody gets...
Everybody. Have one for everybody.
It's unlearning that for myself and then instilling in my children that you are your own person. It is okay to tell me no. It is okay to tell your grandmother no. It is okay to be uncomfortable in these spaces. I don't even believe in corporal punishment. And a lot of my friends look at me and be like, if you don't whoop them kids' ass, but I'm not doing that. I know what that felt like growing up, getting hit on, told that I was loved. Oh, I love you. That's why I'm doing this. And then now, well, what does love look like? Do I take disrespect? Meh, yes.
But it looks confused. That's what it looks absolutely. Like. Love looks very confusing.
Well, and I always say in the Black community, we have to unlearn because we like our love sprinkled with a little abuse.
Yeah.
And then we try to pass it off as if it's like, this is what it is. It's like, yeah, that is what it is. It was
no,
wrong.
That's what it was. That's
yeah.
what it
was. Oh, and I hate that. Oh, well, I got my ass whooped and I was fine.
Right.
No, no you're not. You're
actually, I don't like you at all. Yes, you're a terrible person.
If you don't call your therapist.
This is why I'm a loner because I don't have time. I'd be like, actually. On today's read, we're gonna find out that you're not. You're actually pretty fucked up.
Slim
fucked you have intimacy
up.
Issues.
Abandonment issues.
Yeah. Abandonment
all
issues.
That.
And yeah.
Rejection and shit. Love, like,
yeah.
All sorts of things. That
and
come
no struggle
along with
love.
That.
I want to be bored as fuck. Love. That's what love is. You're supposed to be bored. Everybody's supposed to be like, you look great. You look great. I love you. I love you. I'm sorry. Funny. Like, no. You're people don't understand. Black people don't understand this whole excitement. And I get how it comes. We have tripped nervous systems. Like, we came in this bitch as slaves. So, like, living under
PTSD
those circumstances,
is
generations
serious.
Of your heartbeat just being accelerated, generations of anxieties that we're not even allowed to own up to.
Yep.
And I'm watching The Real House of Beverly Housewives, and they're like, oh, my anxiety. I'm like, bitch, your anxiety is getting on me.
Like, shit. Anxious about what now? What are you anxious about?
Because I feel like money would help it die down. A little privilege would help it die down a little bit.
Just a slight
bit.
Just
a smidge.
Just a slight
bit. From a humanity perspective, I get that there's the anxiety that comes with, like, knowing you're the villain, right? If you have that privilege and you know the gaslight is real. So that's their own shit. But when it comes to Black people, our mental health issues and the shit we pass down, our number one excuse is, well, it happened to me. You need to take a step again and examine how you felt about it.
Absolutely.
How did you feel about it?
Because I can guarantee you weren't smiling about getting your ass whooped.
Never.
You were not.
You were running around a bed.
With your hands tucked.
You were upside down picking switches and shit, you know, trying to figure out which one you were going to pick that wasn't going to hurt so bad. You were going through it. Like, you had anxiety. You were thinking about it for the bus ride home because you knew when you got home you was getting your ass whooped.
Absolutely.
Like, you knew that shit. Like, you wasn't, you couldn't even eat.
Hide.
Yeah,
it makes
cut it
them
out.
Tuck things in that
yeah.
they shouldn't tuck.
Cut it
like,
out.
How often have we said that little girls, especially little Black girls, have been molested for mm-hmm. so long because there was nowhere for them to speak up?
Right.
They
nowhere.
Were so
right.
fucking afraid.
Nowhere.
Right.
I don't want my children to fear me in that
yeah.
way.
Yeah. And it's like when you're an adult, consequences don't look like that. They don't look like, oh, you missed 7 days of work. I'm going to beat that ass. Like,
right.
that's not like
yeah.
a even a thing that they will understand
no.
as an adult. So it's kind of like what's missing from Black families is that emotional connection.
Correct.
When you have emotional connection, your disappointment has so much weight.
Yeah.
When it's like, oh, we going to talk about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm going to let you know that I'm disappointed mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. you have not exhibited empathy and kindness in this situation. You did not make the best decision. And here's how you go forward.
Right.
And here's the punishment for your actions. And that has more weight.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, it's appealing to your mind.
Right.
It's appealing to your intelligence, to you as a person, instead of just being like, the punishment is you get your ass beat.
Right.
And I even believe in corporal punishment because sometimes some kids have the mindset where they just need their ass beat. Sometimes you got to teach that lesson. I don't think you have to do it. I don't believe in like beating the shit out of kids like all the time. But sometimes they challenge you to the point like, well, you ain't going to beat me. Yes, the fuck I will today.
You pulled the winning
right?
ticket.
You got the golden paddle.
Yep, it's you.
and it's like we as adults have to be in tune with ourselves enough, and we have to be regulated enough to know how to dispense the children.
Is
yes,
self-regulation
and how
is
to
important.
Dispense punishment to the children based on their personalities, based on making sure the punishment fits the crime, and making sure that it's like a.
Well, I like the word discipline better than punishment, but. you know, say whichever one you like.
No, I like the word punishment because I feel like discipline is more like a lesson, and punishment is just like, I'm mad you did this shit.
I think it's all a lesson though. That goes back to what you were saying about the fact that you know, when you have, I was gonna say, when you were saying you guys are talking about it and it does something with your brain. What it also does is give you an opportunity to learn something about your kid that you may not have known, because now you guys are having a conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If something happened at school and then the school calls and the kid comes home and you know you're going to get your ass whooped today because the teacher called.
Yeah.
You haven't even really talked them through what's happened. What's you don't know on. What was said to them, what was done to them, what they were experiencing it, what might have happened at lunchtime before they got to the classroom.
And that's what triggered them and all of that. Teachers are bullies.
So I mean, I feel like
and protecting
with
them
everybody
from that
being
is
a teacher and a student, that's an opportunity for the parent to
But sometimes
learn
I
beat
ass,
child.
Is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah.
Like, sometimes I learned the lesson, I understand about you, cool. Right.
Yeah.
But you was out of line.
So
you fucking
about to do this work.
So yeah.
You about to get the land on the hand.
I'm so angry, I'm gonna just beat that ass. And you know, some people make it a sport where it's like, you need to go, I can't, I wish your mom, I won't be there. Why are you excited to beat your child?
Yeah,
but it's like, when I'm being challenged to the point, because I have a strong-willed 9-year-old, and when I'm being challenged to the point where it's like, I know you want, you're going to learn today.
You're going
to
do what?
Yes, I will.
You're going to do what?
Yes, I will. And maybe it's this one time she only, but you're going to learn. Because you can't be beaten all the time.
That shit don't work.
Well, it's abusive, and it doesn't work.
It desensitizes them.
And it
at some point,
you make little psychopaths where they're like, hit me. And next thing you know, fast forward 30 years later,
hit me.
Oh. You know, and that's how I like to get down.
I ain't fucking with y'all. I ain't fucking with y'all. Yeah. Wild crowd.
But that's you recognizing as well that your children are individuals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because a lot of time, there's this one size fits all when it comes to children and parents. So you recognizing that, you might be okay not doing corporal punishment on this one, but this one may need a touch up. That's fine.
Yeah. And it's how you do it too. It's like, it doesn't have to be a public humiliation. It doesn't have to be like gather around, a whooping is happening. Yeah.
I think public humiliation leads to certain death within children.
Yeah.
You kill sometimes whatever potential that they could have been.
Yeah.
You create this. Like, don't do that.
Yeah. It's just that you create a shame.
Yeah.
And sometimes shame never goes away.
Shame is too big in our community already.
Oh, yeah. Oh, black people and shame are the worst.
You were saying fear earlier about little girls being molested and stuff like that. And the immediate word I thought was shame. Like, what you're sometimes they won't say anything about it because the shame that comes along with it, having taken on something about that, feeling like they somehow created that.
Yeah. And there are families, and without putting my family out, that will make you feel shame for, number one, the way your body blossoms if your genetics aren't a goddamn thing. Look here, auntie, it's not my fault that you grew up a square.
Right.
And then I'm turning into something else. That's not my fault. That's genetics. It does not mean that I'm fast. It does not mean that I'm enticing some grown man.
And it doesn't mean that I'm not a little girl that needs nurturing to be spoken to as a little girl. And that's something I watch my 9-year-old. It's like she's developed for her age. And realizing, like, watching her and how it works on her cognitively, and how it's like she's into little girl stuff, but she's intelligent enough to have adult conversations. But then her body's blossoming. So it's like people are coming over. You got to put on a bra. Like, all of that is a lot on a child. You don't punish the child for that.
No, you shouldn't.
But people do that every day.
Because we're uncomfortable and we don't know how. Black people run from trauma. We don't know how to have those conversations. And when you start to have the conversation of one, I feel like, controversial statement, I feel like we groom little black girls to be molested. I think we groom them to be emotionally abused because it's easier to kind of put us in a box as we're growing up and be like, you control this, this, and this about you, or the monster black man is going to get you. And then it's like, how come the monster black man don't have no self-control on his end? How come
there's not responsibility for adults to react a certain way? When you
do that, you take responsibility from adults to be adults and hold themselves accountable. You put the responsibility on little girls, and you put them in a position where black women get into situations of emotional abuse because they don't know who's responsible and supposed to be held accountable for what.
Absolutely.
Deep shit.
And nobody's ever telling you know, the creepy ass uncle not to come to the functions of.
Why is
the
creepy ass uncle in jail?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I wish nobody creepy out. Ass uncle motherfucker
but
no, would.
But I'm saying, that's the thing. Like, that they in thinking about it, it's like, even, you know, not even talking about molestation, but just talking about same sex lifestyle. Like, in my family, that's the thing. Like, the crackheads, the alcoholics, the molesters, all those people are allowed to be here. They get 2 and 3 plates.
I've experienced
they get
that
to bring,
too. Yeah.
They get to bring their nasty ass friends over with them too, and kiss you on the cheek and shit like that.
But look at you sinning with a consenting adult.
But you can't be here because you chose to love someone this way and they love you back, and that's a thing, but we don't like that, so that can't be here. Mm-hmm. But you could be in a cesspool of a whole bunch of other weird
that's
ass
shit. That's mimicking white supremacy. I'm sorry. Shit, wow. That's not what we supposed to fucking do.
Living
covering
whole
that
ass
up.
Lies, tucking who they are, children who won't speak up, people committing suicide. It leads to depression. My whole thing of the whole epidemic, the whole crack epidemic, was a lot of black people doing a lot of self-medicating.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's how I feel about drugs in general. It's absolutely. Like, once you start partaking of any altering substance, even alcohol, even, like, the way you cope with, like, running and doing healthy stuff, the playing
could be
field,
a drug.
Everything
I got a quote that said, most
mechanism.
Drugs aren't drugs at all. I got a quote that says that most drugs aren't drugs.
I'm in that place in my healing journey where I'm just like, I'm about to eat a bunch or walk a bunch. There's no in between. Like, I'm about to go work my shit out or eat my shit out. And sometimes, you know, you haven't calibrated yet. But that's the thing. And that's the thing that black people and that they do with black people, especially under white supremacy. Looking at the root of the issue would be too dangerous to society. So we keep allowing black people to medicate. We keep trying new ways to oppress them and new ways to distract from the overall thing. It's like you came in this country off some bullshit, and the gaslight is we're pretending like, oh, everything's fine. Slavery was just over and we transitioned into you guys having your own. No, slavery's over.
Girl.
No, it's over. No,
don't you get paid now?
Yeah.
Don't
look
you
at
get
you in your
now?
Green dress allowed to be here.
Don't you get paid now? Yeah. Didn't you choose that job?
Let's not pull out those wages, though, to see who's making what and who's not making what and start looking
shit,
at the microaggressions and everything that falls along the lines of, let's call this legal slavery.
Right. And then if you look at, and I'm all about looking at that broader spectrum, but then I drill it down to me, looking at us at the bottom of the totem pole. Still winning.
Mm-hmm. Like
still
shit.
Winning.
Like shit.
Still, and what we had to do to overcome that. So it's up to us to speak loudly our stories. It's up to us to speak loudly about abuse. Even like I speak about emotional abuse. And it's kind of like this thing, this subtopic where people try to minimize it. And it's like, no, that's abuse. Mm-hmm. And it's the abuse that gets into your psyche and can alter who the fuck
you
are.
Uh-huh.
It
Absolutely.
Can alter your entire
Absolutely.
Life, how you speak to yourself. Like,
how even you progress.
Exactly. And it's like it's looking into how men, how people are taught to court each other, how we're taught what love is, and it's like, nah, we gotta rework this shit because we're damaging each other.
Every day.
And it's not about selfishness. It's not about loving other people, it's not about filling your empty.
No.
It is not. You need to fill your empty. Figure
Absolutely.
Your shit the fuck out.
Yep.
And this
First,
whole like
before you go
right. And it's so hard, and doing this work is gonna get harder and harder because now I noticed, especially in the pandemic, people have taken psychology and mental health and turned it into a buzzword and a gimmick and a game.
Yeah.
And now everybody's like, you're a narcissist. Bitch, you a narcissist too. We all
have. Yeah,
we all got childhood
that.
Trauma.
Yeah.
We all
Everybody
showing
got
up.
Mommy and daddy issues.
Exactly.
And Everybody's
and,
doing
and whatever
that.
You
up.
Mirror out to me and start doing this whole, you know,
that shit
pontificate.
Inside of you. That's how you know
Look
it.
At you.
Yeah.
Because when I went to.
It takes one to know one. You know what I'm saying? So
that
you know
shit
that
burned me up.
It.
When I went to therapy and I was like, everybody needs to get their shit together. And then the third time I was like, it's me?
It was me.
So I don't understand. Let's go back.
What do you mean it was me?
So you're saying my low self-esteem and childhood trauma led to me choosing this type of person
Absolutely
in my life?
Did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
So while that person person is a shitty individual that shouldn't have done what they've done, it's still my responsibility to not be a shitty individual to other people because of what was done to me. Or it's just like, tag, you're it. Yeah. And you just keep perpetuating.
The oppressed become the oppressor.
And the cycle continues. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of looking at that.
And that's where breaking the generational curse is really... you know, kind of comes to a halt, you know what I mean? Where you really get to break it. You gotta learn that, okay, at this moment right here, this is like definitive.
Yeah.
I go this way. It's like those little joints where it asks you a question and you say yes or no, mm-hmm. and depending on what you answer, you go a certain way. You gotta stop right there and say, okay, I don't want to become this.
Yeah.
I know what that looks like. I know what that feels like. I've been there. You know what I mean? So in order for me not to go this way, where else can I go and what can I get from that? But that takes time and people don't have time. Absolutely. That's the problem. People feel like they got to move so quickly. You get out of one relationship, get into another one, stuff like that.
Yeah, and try to search for them to heal your wounds.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so,
I think it has more to do with like simplifying, right? Because this healing stuff always looks like is, oh, I gotta cure this and do that and do the opposite of this. And really for me, I started looking at it as like, I just gotta get free.
Yeah.
What does freedom look like? Mm-hmm. And chasing after freedom has been like the natural decisions to choose opposite, the natural decisions to choose better, to love higher, to do more. And it's like, freedom is not gonna look like anybody else's freedom. Nope. And that's the thing. It's like, it's not cookie cutter. Like, that, this is my freedom.
That's why you can't even base it off of what other people are doing. Right. Absolutely. That's where that quote comes from about being the expert of your own experience.
Because I love only you that. Are in it. Yeah.
And speaking to that, so I'm going to be sending you a shirt. We're going to be making you a shirt. Everybody comes on the shirt. Show is going to have a shirt or a hoodie or something.
Is it going to say expert of my own?
It's going to say I am the expert of my experience.
I love that.
So everybody that comes on the show is going to get one of those. So look out for that. But yeah, that's what that's about. It's about understanding that, you know, these things aren't parallel. You know, it's all vertical, straight up to whatever higher power created that you associate or identify with. And that's your lane.
Yeah.
And how you do it may look very different than how the person next to you, how it looks for them. You know what I'm saying? And it's going to always be like that. And no matter how similar it may be and no matter how much you can take and give, at the end of the day, what you're going to have to do for you, it's unique to what you have to do.
Yeah.
For you. And sometimes you're going to have to go alone in order for that stuff to come to fruition.
My God, you got to go alone.
Yeah, like shit.
My God, you got to go alone. The alone part is super important. Yeah. And
I think
super
that's
necessary.
Where a lot of people falter too.
Oh, having yeah. To nobody go wants alone, to be alone.
Nobody wants to be alone.
But it's so funny the way God works because I discovered loneliness. A long time ago when I was going through my divorce accidentally, and I always tell the story, there was a snowstorm and I was stuck by myself and for several days just stuck in my loneliness. And it was just kind of like I came to a point where I was spiraling down and I was like, you can go deep in it or you can pull yourself up. And that's when I came to the realization that I have control over what I do when I'm alone. And it's like the ratio of spending time alone and being alone versus when I feel alone has changed tremendously. I have bouts of moments when I feel alone, and it's not the aloneness that comes with wanting companionship, but it's like the aloneness that comes with being woke.
Yeah.
And just knowing that having connections with people is hard.
Yeah.
And you do have to take a space away in order to be your highest self.
Yep.
So loneliness becomes a part of your healing process.
Yep.
Like you have to, in order to continue to progress, you have to stay away from other people's energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
you got to be guarded. Like those things are, that's real shit.
Absolutely.
Guarding your heart is important.
Guarding your heart is very important.
Otherwise, people are pouring all kinds of shit into you that you don't have any control over. And once it's in, like I said, when I was talking about the cup is full, whatever, and somebody puts theirs in, I can't just pull out what you put into the cup. Now it's mixed into everything else. And a part of it, all of it is one now. You know what I mean?
I'm out the side of the cup. Like, no, what the fuck you doing?
You can't come in here. Seat taken.
No, because once you come woke to how people like minimize your experiences, how they invalidate you in the small ways. Like I even had my brother, and he meant no harm. I was telling him about the drive-in show, and he was like, "Oh, yeah, I looked it up. The time isn't on there." And I was like, "No, the time's on there. It's, you know, it's 7:30, May 27th. You know, come out." Oh no, I looked it up on your Facebook. The time wasn't there. I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, I do an entire show where I plan it like top to bottom. I have a whole production team. It's like a big to do, high ticketed item packed out. And all you can see is that the time isn't there. And not only is the time there because you can't add an event anywhere without the time. It's like
the time is always.
It's like something in society has taught you that focusing on this part of it is more important than the fact that I have this whole show.
On it itself.
Yeah, and then like being woke to how people think and are conditioned to think is a lonely thing. It's just like, oh, okay, so we're really conditioned to look at just the negative and stuff, to harp on that thing when it's like, I'm giving you the information you need. You have that and you can let it go. But you're still like, well, the time is. I didn't see the time. And it's just like the loneliness that comes with knowing how people are, the loneliness where it's like, okay, this is the part of my journey where I'm just going to see everything. And that's why I'm like, the new motto is like, you have to peep everything and just move accordingly. Yeah. You ain't got to say shit. You ain't got to, because sometimes you go on this thing in your healing journey where you want to call out everything.
Yep. Flashlight on.
That didn't last. That was exhausting. I was like, dang not. Hold on. What the? Ooh. What? How even? And then I was like, this exhausted everybody fucked up. I'm just so. And now when I notice things about people that I don't like, I immediately be like, okay, what do I not like about myself? Is that something that I'm doing?
Yeah, I just start turning it around.
Because I cannot fix other people's shit.
It's too exhausting trying.
So learning that. Learning to say to myself, what is it about this person? Not that you don't like, that you don't like about you.
Yeah.
That was so painful because I was judging people based on things that I had not accomplished that wasn't their fault.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm celebrating you, but some part of me is like, ugh. Right. About it. When it was my own shit that I had not unpacked around something somebody else was doing.
Exactly.
Having to do that inner work, oh, God.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm the fucking problem. Look at me. Yeah. Right. And just when you think that ain't the problem no more,
you the problem. You stay the problem. So here's the thing. You're never healed. Only healing. It's always a process, and you're always going to be doing it. And I know you might not like how that
sounds.
I got
angry. No, I know what the fuck it is. I lament about it every day. Where it's like I started understanding that these are all journeys, and then there are sub journeys.
Inside a journey, yeah.
And then they're not.
This is a fucking voyage.
It's not like Mount Everest where you get to the top and it's like, I almost got frostbite, but I didn't.
Ain't no top.
Okay, there's a mountain on top of Mount Everest that I need to.
No, so no. Now you got to the top of that one, but in order to get to the next one, now you got to go all the way back down again. And come all the way back up again.
Healing from the past.
Exactly. That's what it feels like. That's exactly.
Yeah, because it's like I'm ready to ascend.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you gotta something comes and kicks your ass right back down the other side of Mount Everest, and now you gotta come up this other tall mountain. And you keep going up and keep coming down, and that's just a part of it.
I've been coming to this conclusion that ascension doesn't happen like we think it does. Then that it happens in increments too. That Correct. There are ways that you can get there and learn, but you have to be grounded back. And that's the thing that I'm learning, because I feel like the where my mind is, like a bitch is ready. Like I don't be trying to be here.
Because even in having to be grounded back, when you go back up again, it's a completely different thing now.
Yeah.
You're armed with different tools.
Yeah.
First time you came up with like a backpack and a bottle of water. Now you got your boots on, you got your axe, you got
That's
all
true.
Of these.
Yeah, it's like a video game. You're picking up all this shit along the way.
I know.
Absolutely. You keep those things and then you
that
have
shit
to
is.
Go back up. It's a completely different
Oh my
different
god,
look.
Beating boss level villains.
Yeah, like shit.
That shit is real. It's just like, and now all of your daddy issues. And what have y'all ever played Contra?
No.
It's like a Nintendo game, and like I think it's like an environmentalist game, and at the end you would fight these weird bosses that were like amalgamations of like sea pollution and refrigerators.
Yeah, no.
Like, I have felt like there are exes that were just like an amalgamation of like, I am this ex and you're dead, and all of the people who have minimized
exactly
you,
what
you're
the
like
fuck
you
happened.
Have to beat this level.
So this your last one, because we getting there. I think we got about 15 minutes. I think we started at like 5:10. But no, you wanted to talk about being a single mother and how that looks. And I know most of what you talked about kind of surrounds that, because as you said, you are a single mother. But is there anything specifically that you'd like to speak to around that on this Mother's Day, or any encouragement for the single mothers? What you got around that? You wrote it in the text.
I know.
And you know I'm going to touch on everything you write in the text.
Well, I was thinking about it so hard this morning. I was just in my feelings because it's...
crying on the couch?
Yeah.
What were we crying on the couch about? Let's talk about that instead.
Well, it's difficult to... Well, I had a lot of anxiety about my relationship with my mom. I'm not speaking to my mom. And it's just because... I grew up so religious, and my parents had this kind of, like, control over me that I wasn't even aware of, yep. but I was living my life kind of inside of their box, and yep. it's been important for me to escape elements of control in my life, so it was just necessary for me to be separated.
Makes sense.
And, you know, with the idea of is that honoring your parents and how these generational things pass down, uh-huh. what does my relationship with my girls look like, and how will they resent me for the fact that they're not with me fully? Time like right. I'm with them for a while, for months at a time. I take care of the business. I'm sole custody, but they do go with family for stretches of time. And personally, I'm just like, I think that that's good for them, but I struggle with the guilt of it.
Mom guilt is a thing.
Mom guilt is totally a thing. And then it's understanding that my art is something that connects me to my emotions, and I would be a basket case right now if I had not gone this route with my poetry, because right. it's been a way for me to return to self. Mm-hmm. And being understanding what God has for me and that purpose and path and how it fits in with being motherhood, and just kind of looking at, like, historical figures who have done this kind of work, community work, and throwing themselves out there, and how their families have reacted. The family don't always be happy. Nelson Mandela's family right. wasn't always like, oh, he was. They were like, this thing went around. Right. Like, we had to lose out because of their sacrifice to the greater good right. kind of thing. And it's kind of like... thinking about what that looks like as a single mom, and knowing that something's going to suffer, and just kind of mentally preparing that something's not going to be right, and trusting that things are going to work out the way they need to work out, because being a mother is a purpose, 100%.
Right. Absolutely.
But it's not the purpose. Absolutely. You have individual purpose as a woman, uh-huh. as a person, as a human outside of your children.
Absolutely.
Just as your children exist outside of you. And I think about my deep healing, like how painful it is, and my saving grace is like, oh, God's got something big for them if I'm healing this deep.
Right.
Like, this is going to be something major for them. And it's the understanding that while they're going to be impacted by my process, that they're separate people, but it goes vice versa. That I am their mother, and I am responsible for so many things in their lives, but I'm also responsible for living my individual life as a woman. And making that separation is something that society is always going to push back on. And it's something that I always have to drill into them and into me. And on Mother's Day, in the middle of the morning, it feels crazy. It feels like, what are you doing? It feels like you should be all immersed up in their lives and doing this. And it's just like, but there's this purpose too. And your job is finding the alignment and the balance and constantly recalibrating where you need yeah. to. That's why you have to stay regulated and tapped into who you are, so that you can tap into your empathy with those girls, with other people, to assess needs and see where you're needed. And that's the hard thing, is identity as a single mother. Society tells, especially Black single moms, this is it. This is your Super Bowl. Get those kids into, like, this is helicopter mom. That's mm-hmm. what you do. And all your pictures are with your kids. All your life is about your kids and raising those kids and being all up in their lives. And no, it's not. Because you know what you turn into? I'm trying to date your son, and I got to deal with your bullshit because you all enmeshed up in his life. Because yeah. somebody
Absolutely.
Taught you that was how right. you parent.
Yeah.
And it's like the best thing that you could do as a mother is to take care of yourself and have your own life, mm-hmm. because in from everything that I've studied and read, there you have influence and you can fuck up your children, but also there's nature versus nurture.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's other shit fucking them up
too.
There's other shit that they're absorbing yeah. that you can never catch. And there's other stuff that's going on and happening to them. So you need to give them the tools. That's yeah. the important thing.
Absolutely.
So my focus, and I think streamlining it, because especially if you have anxiety disorder, which a lot of Black women do and they're Absolutely. Undiagnosed, is you try to take on everything. And I really encourage mothers, I encourage Black women to start streamlining. What can you handle? What is your purpose and goal? My goal is to teach, give you the tools so that if I'm not here, if I die, if I'm traveling, if I'm something and something's going on with you, you can't get a hold of me or someone else. You have the tools,
you know what to do,
to take care of your own mental health.
Yeah.
I want to teach you how to rescue you.
Right.
Because if you are waiting on other people to rescue you,
you will drown.
Including me, it gives me power to manipulate.
Absolutely.
And people do that unwillingly.
Yeah.
Just because it's in our nature to
Correct.
Be like to misunderstand reciprocity.
Yep.
Reciprocity happens in vibes only.
Yep.
Reciprocity happens spiritually. Reciprocity is not tit for tat.
Correct.
So it's like when you put people in situations where you rescue them, when you give them something, a lifeline, then it's up to the person doing the rescuing to be like, I'm not going to hold you hostage
to that. Absolutely.
I don't always have that in me. I'm an imperfect person, and
sometimes I want my shit back.
So, yeah, it's, that resentment kicks in, and you be like, run me my shit.
Right. I want my shit back.
Exactly. And it's like, I want to teach them that. I want to teach them what it is to rescue yourself and the balance between asking for what you need, assessing what you need, and then and getting it from people who understand how reciprocity actually works.
Yeah.
And not people who are looking to get you into situations where they can control
suck
you.
Suck the life Absolutely. Out of you.
Exactly. Yeah. Because we are in an age of people who have just been raised by kind of like generations of selfish people.
Yeah.
Because it's scraping and scrapping under oppression.
Yeah.
When you're oppressed, you become selfish because everything is about what can
and
I do? How do I?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You become very opportunistic.
Exactly. And it's in that's part of mimicking white supremacy and capitalism. So we get into that as a subculture of Black people in this country, and the work to undo that is going to be a lot.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole lot.
And we got it's going to have to be very intentional. Like on how you attack something like that.
Intentional. And you're going to, it's like that conversation we, and you're going to be sitting at the table with Judas sometimes.
Yeah, you
and
are.
That's just what Ooh. The fuck it is.
Yeah, that's just, yeah,
more than once.
It's strategy sometimes.
Yeah, it
sometimes
might be three, four Judases at the same table
absolutely.
That you read
and
all.
And you see,
yeah.
and you don't get to leave.
Yeah,
like you said.
Like I said, sometimes the answer is right here. And so you can't go anywhere. You got to figure out what to do with that when the answer's right here and you can't go anywhere.
That's
Sometimes
right.
you cannot leave the room.
And,
you know
and Black
I mean?
Women are hip. We recognize that these dynamics are at play, but they try to minimize us and pretend it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I love this wave of Black women. Like, we're not being gaslit anymore. We know what it is to show up at the tables. We know what y'all expect of us, the burdens y'all put on us, and we know all of the politics at play
Absolutely.
For you to try to get us to move in certain
right.
ways. We meet in secret societies and find other ways to move within
like
your
shit.
Systems and outside
like
of your
shit.
Systems.
And we will continue to do that.
And we will continue to do that.
Yeah.
And the new thing is passing that on to our children in a way that they can exercise it in freedom.
Absolutely.
And hopefully
yeah.
overthrow
Absolutely.
The system.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And hopefully
yeah.
overthrow the system.
As a surprise, we got a system over here and
yeah,
you didn't
and
even
they,
know that.
Right, yeah. And now you can't do anything about it. So.
And we're not going to get to that place if we don't ease up on Black women.
Yeah.
If we don't keep, if we stop perpetuating this whole perfectionism, because that comes from them. The idea that you have to be perfect in that way. Being perfect means asking for the right things. When the Bible, when God, when higher beings talk about perfection, they talk about renewing of your mind every day.
Absolutely.
Being willing to
that's
learn
being
every
perfected.
Day. Being able to grow every
yeah,
day.
That, that's being perfected.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's
the fact
being
that
perfected.
You're open.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Align with your purpose.
Come on with the word on this.
being aligned with your purpose, that is perfected.
That's perfection.
Walking in alignment with whatever the mission is. That is showing up in places at the right time. That is
having
perfected.
Having your little house,
yeah.
your little outfit, and your little photo shoot.
That
God
is
does not
is,
give
it,
a flying
absolutely.
Fuck about that.
No.
And what does that have to do
availability.
With kindness for other
availability. That's
people?
That's absolutely. What that's what God is looking for. Availability, willingness, those kind of things. Showing up right in the places where you belong, where the steps have been ordered. Are you stepping into those blocks?
But
yeah.
that speaks to your inside, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so that's why
oh,
you
yeah.
got to be healed
that's
from
integrity.
The inside.
Yeah,
like,
it's integrity.
Yeah.
It's making sure that what I'm about on the inside can be reflected
on
the
outside. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's something that makes sense to people, even enemies who try to like fuck with you. Then they're like, all right,
but that's what that's the whole idea of what baptism is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about an expression and illustration outwardly of an inward change.
Yeah.
You know that what I'm saying? Rebirth. Like that. Yeah, that's what that thing is about. So what you've done on the inside should start to look like you on the outside to people.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know what I'm saying? If you're in alignment and you're being true to who and what that is.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you're being true to who what that is. So we got a few minutes. You got something for the single mothers before we get up out of here?
Forgive yourself.
Forgive yourself.
Yeah.
I think that was my biggest thing, forgiving myself for being a single mother. Okay. Nobody signs up to be a single mother.
Right. Like shit.
Nobody
like
signs
shit.
Up to be a single mother.
That's why I say that shit ain't, that it wasn't, it, yeah, it's hard because it wasn't designed to
it
be like this.
Yeah, I can
that's
see why two
hard.
People are needed.
Yeah, that's why the fuck
and
it's
hard.
And
that was a reality I had to have with my children. Like,
it took some work for me to get over the bitterness of that.
Yeah, oh.
I felt
speak
such
on that.
Bitterness inside of me. Especially sitting down, looking, I have four, and looking at them and saying to myself, yo, I didn't ask for that. Like, what are we doing? But forgiving myself in that.
Yeah.
For being single, because I can't be everywhere all of the time.
Yep.
I can't give everybody everything. Sometimes I ain't got it for myself.
I'm about to say, sometimes you don't want to.
Sometimes
it's not
I
that
just
you
don't,
can't.
Yeah.
You just don't fucking feel like it.
And that. Forgiving myself in that too, because saying like, yo, that's okay, I'm human, I'm a woman, and then recognizing that I had to be all of those things first before I could even be their mother.
Yeah,
because if any of that is fragmented, I'm not a good mother to you.
Yeah. And that burden's not yours, it's a whole other motherfucker.
Gosh. But you'd be surprised at the number of people that expect you to carry that.
Oh no, I know. I feel it. And I see the memes and the people and it's like, oh, society don't even know what they think about single moms. They don't even know the toxicity they're putting in the air and the expectation.
And then that we're even taking on ourselves.
Exactly.
Because we feed that to ourselves.
Yeah.
And now running around like a wild woman at 9 o'clock I gotta be here, 10 o'clock I gotta be here, 11 o'clock I gotta be here.
Because
I haven't even addressed the way I felt this morning. And what
not
are we
getting
doing?
Sleep, not eating, just basic
insomnia,
nourishment, shit
and you
like
resent
that.
Your kids, and you resent motherhood.
Eventually, that's exactly what happens.
You
start to see that.
You resent motherhood, and it's like, and I was there. I was like, this shit is not popping.
Not only do you resent it, you resent seeing it in other people where they like got that Susie Homemaker thing going on.
Yeah,
I'm like, bitch, why are you lying? And
that's why every time I go on something, they're like, let's talk about motherhood. I'm like, I'm failing miserably.
What else? What else did I talk about?
Yeah, what else do you want to know? No, please know. When you see me in heels and a picture with the kids, that I had to fight and choke them and get the other one out of this way and be like, I don't even want to take the picture anymore.
Jackson was like, oh, do you know that you forgot London's crayons and her? And I was like, you know what? My apologies. It was sitting right there on the couch. Because this morning, the dog was barking. This one needed something. This one couldn't find their charger. This one needed, the crayons and stuff I left on the goddamn
get
couch.
Get a baby some crayons.
It's
going to
happen
let that
more
shit
than
go.
Once.
Oh,
it's
it
going
out.
To happen.
Cut
and
it out.
That's perfectly cool. I'm not cutting no crust off sandwiches. Some days I forget to even feed myself. So feeding them, I'm like, okay,
exactly.
I'm scrambling. It builds a resentment. It builds a bitterness because, let's face it, the other half, that other parent, is living life.
Right.
Bopping.
And it'd be so cute. They post one picture and everybody's like, oh my God, you're such a nice.
I ain't fucking with y'all.
Listen.
We're going to have another show for them.
Oh my goodness.
Listen.
Oh my goodness. So single moms,
forgive yourself. Forgive yourself.
Self-compassion.
Great advice, ladies.
That
great
is
advice.
Good advice.
Yeah.
I was going to say one more thing.
Go ahead,
like,
one more thing.
No, because the forgive yourself.
He'll put us out.
Along with self-compassion.
He'll
like,
cut it off.
Self-care is self-love in action.
Ooh, darling.
So it's like that self-compassion comes with like, you know what? I am burnt out. Let me take a bath. Fuck them kids.
Fuck
sometimes.
Them kids.
I had to learn.
Fuck
when
them
you said
kids.
Earlier that you closed your door, I was like, I had to learn to close my door and be good with it.
Yeah.
And make sure you knock because...
You teach them boundaries.
There's
that way.
Boundaries.
Because I used to get my feelings hurt as an adult when people were like, oh, I want alone time. I'm like, but now it's like, as a mom, I'm telling my kids this when they get in a relationship and the nigga's like, I need to be alone. They'll be like, cool. I'm familiar with this.
I'm going to go do something right now. I got some shit to do. Yes.
No, nah, all good. All good.
Yes.
We made it right in time. Right in time, but. So, Whiskey, thank you for coming out. I appreciate that. This is, you know, you basically kind of helping us bust our cherry with guests on the show. So, this was dope. This is the first time.
I like to bust a good cherry.
I'm just saying. So, thank you for coming out. Pioneer, thank you for joining the show today, helping me host it as well. To all the listeners, hopefully you got something out of it. Go back, run it back, listen to all of the good nuggets that you got from the Black mothers. Black mothers, mothers in general, Black women, we love you. Mama's and we support you. And we want to see you thriving. So until next week, but before we go, because you know we got to do our affirmation. We can't just leave it out. For those that didn't catch it at the end of the show, we got to make sure that we just say it straight out.
Then we're going to get into these strawberries. I saw you trying to open it. I was like, girl, get it.
I was like,
just one big, like a band-aid.
No,
I was like, no,
rip it. All right, what's our affirmation real quick so he can end this for us? So this time you do not have to actually say it with me. This time I just read it out. And this is for everybody that didn't hear it at the beginning. I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind. I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts. Communion is where I come to unite with those around me. I am grounded and present in this experience. I am here and I am whole.
Here and I am whole. I'm here and I'm a hoe.
That was the old one. We heal it.
Remix.
I am here and I'm whole.